Welcome to Simple Living Works. This is episode 56. I'm Jerry Iverson with my guest, Ken Weigel, director of Advent Conspiracy. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. Advent Conspiracy asks, can Christmas still change the world? Advent Conspiracy answers, the Christmas story is a story of love, hope, redemption, and relationship. So what happened? How did it turn into stuff, stress, and debt? Somehow we've traded the best story in the world for the story of what's on sale. In 2006, five pastors imagined a better Christmas practice for their own communities. Today, Advent Conspiracy is a global movement of people and churches resisting the cultural Christmas narrative of consumption by choosing a revolutionary Christmas through spending less, giving more, loving all, and worshiping fully. In this episode, Ken Weigel, director of Advent Conspiracy, illuminates each of these four tenets. It is not enough to say no to the way Christmas is celebrated by many. We need to say yes to a different way of celebrating. This Christmas, give to change the world, give to water. Since its beginning, Advent Conspiracy invited each co-conspirator to allocate a portion of resources to address the global water crisis. There may be no better time of the year to really see the stark contrast between the extravagance of culture and the simplicity of water. More than a billion of our global neighbors lack access to clean water and sanitation, and we believe Christmas can change this. Because of people like you who have entered into conspiracy, millions of dollars have been given to provide clean water solutions around the world. Note that Advent Conspiracy does not accept or channel funds. All donations are given by the donors directly to their chosen agencies. In the show notes are links to Advent Conspiracy's free church resources, such as children's curriculum, audio, video, and more. Also, links to Advent Conspiracy FAQs, frequently asked questions. I'm so glad to talk about Advent Conspiracy. Now, you're with a group called Imago Dei. And if my Latin stands up correctly, that means image of God. Now, if you have the name of a community that's in Latin, that seems to people to think it might be right Roman Catholic. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about the churches that started Advent Conspiracy, if you would.
Yeah, I'd love to. Imago Dei Community is a church plant, an evangelical church plant here in Portland, Oregon, that's about, I believe we're just about probably 13 or 14 years old here in the Northwest. And we were one of three churches that helped start Advent Conspiracy, which is just coming up on its ninth year anniversary this Advent. And the other churches were Windsor Crossing in St. Louis, as well as Ecclesia in Houston, Texas. And all three of these churches kind of all the senior pastors at the time were at a gathering of just kind of senior pastors talking about life and what they were up to and things that they were thinking. And the way that, these pastors that were gathering for this particular event all were at the time just kind of processing both culture and life and what maybe should some of the churches do as a response to some of those things. And at the time, kind of unprompted, they all three kind of began to lament the Advent season simply because of how much it was difficult as a pastor to watch so many of your congregations. You know, you have this just very momentous occasion within the church calendar that feels like it often gets just overshadowed and almost kind of almost robbed by this sense of busyness and overconsumption and just complete just distraction from the actual story of Christmas by the way that the narrative of just kind of the consumeristic culture took over. And so they were just kind of lamenting how they almost were excited for it to be over because it was just so hard to keep the attentions of most of the congregations during that time. And it was at that time that they just kind of began to sit back and dream about what it would look like to actually lead congregations of people into something that really was a countercultural revolution. Now, you know, I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek of saying I know that many people throughout history have resisted consumerism and have done many of the tenets that kind of make up Advent conspiracy of focusing their worship upon the actual season and what it means to the church, as well as things like spending less and giving more and looking at how the gifts that they do give might actually love beyond even their own sphere of influence and go towards those in need. So it's not like we're doing anything new. We just wanted to bring it to a place where we were kind of inviting multiple groups to join us. So the ethos, although behind Advent Conspiracy, was relatively simple. It was that idea of just saying, how could we call congregations to actually live prophetically to say, this is the church's story, and we really want to tell that story in a more honest way than we are currently. So, you know, to kind of get back to your initial question, one of the things that's been really interesting is the number of diverse churches, from Roman Catholic to Lutheran to the full kind of gamut of churches that have embraced this experience of saying, the church's story is, you know, Christmas is the church's story, and let's do a better job of telling exactly what happened and why God giving us his son really did change everything.
Well, now, I'm glad to hear that this is started among evangelical churches. A number of evangelical churches, or at least conservative churches, don't use the church year in the same way that mainline traditional churches like Lutherans and Episcopalians and Catholics do. Have you had any trouble helping people understand the whole concept of Advent as part of the liturgical year?
Surprisingly, no. And I'm not sure if that's because people, you know, there are certain parts of the liturgical year that I think are a little bit more daunting or confusing. For some reason, Advent has seemingly been a time that even those really unfamiliar with the liturgical calendar have seemed to grasp relatively easily. You know, unlike Lent or some of the other, you know, ones, it's been one that hasn't felt like it's needed a bunch of explanation. And it's come at a time where I think a lot of the evangelical churches are trying to figure out what are some of those church calendar things that were actually potentially helpful to use as reminders throughout the year of times to pause and reflect and to focus. And so certainly it's not anything that we're extremely dogmatic about, but it's been one of those things that as we've called people towards this idea of taking these 4 weeks and really leaning into the church calendar, it's been something that we've met no real opposition or resistance to at this point, or really even confusion, as they've just kind of jumped into that idea of joining kind of the church as a whole of using those 4 weeks to just really reflect upon the gift that was given with his son.
Excellent. Well, tell us about the four tenets and go into some detail in each one, if you would, please.
Yeah, I'd love to. The four tenets really came out of that idea of saying, what would it, if we were really to call people, you know, one of the things that is interesting about Advent Conspiracy is it's really a kind of discipleship program almost in disguise. It's really kind of daring or challenging people to go, if we really believe that this story is true, if we really believe that there's a kingdom not of this earth that is breaking in here amongst us, if we really believe all this to be true, how would that impact the way that we both tell the story of that kingdom's in breaking, as well as how would it impact the way that we give gifts or shop or love those around us? And so each one of the tenets, and I'll kind of start with the first one of spend less. Spend less came out of this entire idea of once we really realized that during the months of kind of that November, December time, just in the United States, it's well over $500 billion that goes through our hands that we spend. Now, not all of that is obviously towards presents, but that just shows you the magnitude of money that is spent within the United States during that time. And we realized that within that spending, a lot of it was spending that was just, the statistics would tell us, that the average family was giving somewhere in that range of, they were spending around $1,500 on Christmas, and they were showing that about half that was actually in debt, and credit card debt that actually took them months, if not the entire year, to pay off. And so we began to just kind of look at that idea of what would a prophetic living out of the story of Christmas look like. We just said one of them would just be to stop the spending and to just spend less, to kind of stop that idea of, and I think most of us at one time of our lives might identify with this sentiment of, you're walking around the mall and you're trying to find a gift. You're like, how do I spend $20 to show Aunt Linda that I love her? And just that idea of money equating into love is nothing that we would ever say out loud, but it often is a feeling that we feel around the time of Christmas, of gifts that we have to give, and how that actually shows people that we love them. So we really wanted to call people into that idea of resisting the urge to spend a lot of money in order to show love. And so spending less was one of the big ways we wanted people just to stop and just resist that idea of falling into that consumer trap of just thinking that more things is going to ever satisfy any of us. So spend less is kind of the most obvious one of a lot of them, and it's one that most of us kind of really quickly go, yeah, I'm all in favor of that one. We don't find many people that take much issue with that particular tenet. The next one after spend less seems a little bit contrary, but it is the idea of giving more. And what that really means is, for most of us, when we think of spending less, it actually thinks that we can't give more. But where that really came from was the idea of saying, when we look at what most of us actually want or need or are in a desire of, it really is things of most often relationship and time and thoughtful encounters with one another. And so we really wanted to kind of debunk that idea of, if you were to love your friends and family, you have to spend money on them. And so we really wanted to challenge that idea of saying, let's spend less, but at the same time, give more really looks at that idea of saying, what are the things that we can give that actually are what one another needs? So some of those things, you know, I mean, just to real practically, I mean, it was the idea of saying, instead of just getting dad a, you know, a tool set or, you know, a particular new DVD set, but we'd say, let's stop and let's get dad a bag of coffee and say, I want this coffee to be something that we consume and drink together. So how about this coffee represents 8 times that you and I are going to meet this year and just talk about life and what's going on and things that are important to you and what matter, and really allowing the gifts that we give to give more relationally and have more of our time, you know, consumed by it. And that's one thing that we've found, whether or not someone is 13 or whether or not someone's 83, that the gift of time spent and the gift of really giving relationally to one another is, at the end of the day, the most thoughtful gift that people remember. And so giving more really allows us just to stop and go, how do I really want to tell the story to those around me of when God the Father gave his son, he gave this just lavish gift, but it was a gift that was wrapped up in relationship, and so much of it didn't have to do with the shiny things of this world, but it had to do with the relationship and the idea of how we give of both friendship as well as time and sacrifice to one another. So that give more is one of the ones that I think some people have. It seems like a relatively lofty idea, but then when it comes into practicality, that's one of the places where some people kind of get easily stuck, is that idea of saying, well, I love the idea of spending less, but how do I walk in and help, you know, and show that to my family on Christmas Eve or when we gather together to celebrate that as a church? And so that's one of those things that we've found a lot of people have needed kind of a community around them to help them come up with ideas and thoughts. And it's one of the things that I'm probably, 9 years into this, I've went through a number of iterations personally, but it's one of the things that has really challenged myself and my family to get into that idea of, what do we want to give? What is the story that we want to tell? And how would that actually reflect the values that we want to share with our family and friends? The next of the tenets I would probably go into is love all. And love all is really that idea of, when we take a look at when the angels came and really declared this kingdom, when God gave his son, it was something about that idea of telling it to the shepherds, telling it to those, and for those very familiar with shepherds back in the day, those were not the most high and well thought of people within society. Those were actually more of the outcasts, those that almost couldn't give a testimony in court, those that were kind of considered less than others. And so we really wanted to look at that idea of when the good news came of God giving his son, of Emmanuel, it came to those that needed a king. It came to those that needed a savior. And so we really wanted to look and say, a lot of the times we get gifts that we don't even remember 1 month, 3 months, and you know, probably 9 months later. And most of us, if we were to pause and think about some of the material gifts that we were given last year at Christmas, now, you know, a number of months past, it's difficult to even remember a single gift. And so we wanted to sit back and say, what would be the way that we could love the least of these around us? And so, you know, one of the things that was the most glaring need for us at the time was just the idea of the water crisis that's just going on around the globe, of how many people are continuing to both suffer as well as die of lack of access to clean water. And so that was one of the things that we just said, man, wouldn't that be awesome if the church rose up and really became a large player in this water crisis. Now, I say water to say is definitely one of our major tenets, and it's the primary one that we really encourage people to give at least 25% of some of the money that they didn't spend to clean water efforts. But it really is one of the places that we've just seen to say, what would be that gift that they wouldn't forget, you know, a year later. And when we've gone back and looked at some of those places and of clean water, people remember when the well was brought in and all of a sudden children stopped getting sick and mothers were able to take care of their kids and the death around the tribe stopped because of clean water. And so we really wanted to look at that idea of if we were to give and the things that we gave, if they were to tell a story, let's have them be the gifts that really do announce that God loves them, that God cares for them, and that those that are in need and those that seem to be crying out, that God has not forgotten them and that he is loving them, and he's loving them actively through his congregations reaching out and seeing those in need and responding to that need. And so we really loved that idea of saying, if you know, both when Christ was given to us as well as now, the idea that the gift was always to those in need, saying, I see you, you are not forgotten, and I love you. And so we really love that idea of churches being able to dream and conspire to how they could love the world around them. And so many churches give 100% of their of some of the money that they don't spend towards things like clean water efforts through groups like Living Water International or others. Other people really look at local efforts or look at ways that they could just bless those around them. But almost every single congregation or family that participates in AC, of Advent Conspiracy, is taking a portion of what we didn't spend on ourselves and just loving loving abundantly those around us. And so it's been really one of the things that's been kind of interesting is throughout this time, people have called Advent Conspiracy or written us or sent us even something in the mail and said, hey, here's the money that we didn't spend, you know, go for it. And we're not a 501c3. This is just an idea. And so we send those checks back or send the money back and say, you figure out how to love those around you and announce to the world that God loves them. And so that's been one of the, you know, one time it was even a $30,000 check that we just got to mail right back and say, hey, this is what God gave you to love either your, you know, surrounding communities or other people around you. So it's been a really fun way to watch people start with that spending less, but also take part of that they didn't spend and collect that together and just see the way God has multiplied those gifts and as congregations have come together to raise what for some of them is just a really large amount of money that they just give away freely. And it's been one of the greatest ways to watch people really live into the story of saying, I'm rejecting this idea of consumerism and this kingdom of scarcity that says I just have to have more and more for myself because eventually it's going to run out, and really more living into this kingdom of abundance and trusting that God is taking care of both of our own needs as well as those around us through the way that we step into that injustice and are able to help them and meet those needs in a very tangible way every day. And then the last of the four is probably the most confusing and probably the most awkwardly worded, and it's probably been one of the ones that we've debated back and forth on the name. And, you know, we've said it once, we've said it a number of times, but it's worship fully. And worship fully really gets to that idea of saying the wise men were drawn towards this idea of saying something that we see, something that we're following, is this idea that something is worth giving up everything for and walking towards in just radical faith towards this promise that we believe God is revealing to us. And we believe that there's something, and I think this would be something that most of us would say is a year-round, but it's that idea of stopping and saying, what do I actually value? What do I actually believe? What is God up to? What is God calling me into? And so worshiping fully is really about that idea of stopping and paying attention to what God is doing and what God is up to, both in our lives as well as within our church, as well as even just within the people that we are in community with, and stopping and giving him both ascribing him the glory that he is due, as well as just being able to pause and just reflect and dive into the relationship that he's offering to us. And that is one of the things that we have found most often gets robbed of God's people during the Christmas season. It's just an unattentiveness, a distraction, a feeling of just unproductive busyness that allows them to get to the end of it and go, man, I don't even know what just happened. And it feels like he kind of just got hit by a whirlwind. And none of it is really intentionally, most people don't get into that amount of distraction on purpose. It's much more of a thing where they just kind of get swept up into this frenzy around Christmas. And so us calling them to pause and reflect and even allow their family gatherings and their family times during that month of Advent to just be reflective and have pauses and have times of just picking up on, God, what are you up to? What are the things that you're showing us as your people that we need to just be attentive to in this time, in this hour? And so I think it's pretty easy for a lot of people to get the idea of spending less and some of the other ideas. But this idea of pausing and reflecting, I think it's been the number one way that people have come up to us afterward, after they've experienced Advent, and they've just said, thank you so much for giving us permission to stop just the crazy busyness and just be intentional with our time, with our efforts, with our minds, and just allowing us to be fully present with just what God is up to. And that's why we say it's kind of an experiment for a month, is that we don't believe anything that we're talking about within this Advent conspiracy is unique to this one time in the church calendar. But we think we think there's something very kind of prophetic about saying Christmas is the church's story. And when you've looked, in the last number of decades, the way that the church has told the story of Christmas really hasn't been that much dramatically different than culture's way that they, just talk about the story of Christmas. And so if it is our story, let's just do a way of, let's really be intentional about the way that we tell that, to where people would be able to say, man, the way you guys understand this story is much different than the way culture would typically embrace this story. So we've found that those four tenets, although, we're not crazily, dogmatic about how exactly they're implored, we've really thought that those have just been four nice kind of pillars of calling people back to what would a time of living out this story look like if we all were to join in this together and really focus on the idea of how do we tell this story in the way that we get to be personally involved, as well as the world gets to hear the good news of God giving his son to his world.
Well said, Ken. Well said. Well, AdventConspiracy.org is a beautiful website. It's simple and gets your message across very well. I noticed there that you have free resources. There's a 4-week curriculum for children. There are other general resources for churches and videos. I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about those. And at the same time, tell us, if you would, what you do the rest of the year. I mean, you focus so much on Advent. And there's surely prep time before Advent starts, and there may be some wrap-up time, you know, say after Epiphany, you know, after Christmas. But is this a seasonal project for you, or is this something that needs work year-round?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, initially, we really didn't know what Advent Conspiracy was going to be. It really, truly was just something that four churches did and said, wow, this is really great for our congregations, and they were really amazed how they lived into it. And then within that first year, about 2,000 other churches jumped on board, and we began from about 17 different countries, and it began to be this thing that we're all kind of stepping back going, whoa, this is a lot bigger than we ever thought it would be. And initially the message began to be something that needed some real clarification as people would tell it to one another. You'd hear people say, I'm so excited to be part of this Advent Conspiracy because I hate Christmas too. And we're like, well, that's not exactly what we were saying. And yeah, I hate shopping and I can't wait to tell Aunt Martha to stop buying me stuff. And we're like, whoa, let's let's figure out a way to tell this message in a way that really is consistent and feels like is helpful. And so we began to make some resources, and it started about, you know, 8 years ago with a little video that we put up online, and kind of had a crazy response where in 1 month or in just a couple months on YouTube it got like a million hits, and it began to be one of those things where we realized people were really paying attention to what God is doing, and this message of pausing during Christmas really did resonate with a number of people. And so initially we really kind of had a couple different resources, and we just kind of let it go and let it really, you know, kind of flourish in its own way. But over the years, what we've began to notice is churches have been really asking and have been hungry for more resources. So one of my roles is helping to work with some of the churches to just raise some of those resources so that we want all the money that comes in during Advent to really be used towards those loving projects. So we've really been strategic about how we've tried to work with those churches to the three founding churches to raise some of the money for resources. And so those videos, we just posted a new video on our Advent Conspiracy Facebook page, as well as within our resource section just about a month ago. And all of those resources are really about helping us understand where, as people across the world tell us what they need, being able to respond to that and give them either curriculum or sermon outlines or videos that help them. So this year in particular, one of the things that we've been hearing recently was this idea of, I love Advent Conspiracy personally. I can't wait to do it, but what's really difficult is inviting my family to join me. And so the video that we recently made was really around that idea of something that you could share on social media and be an invitation for people to join them in the season of really diving into what would it look like to tell a story that's different than maybe they've historically told as a family or as a church. And so that's the video that we made this year. And those resources we've been, if you go onto the website and you go to the resource section, you have to kind of type in your email. Part of that is just for us to know, is anybody using this? Is this helpful? And it was really fun to see last year when we opened it, within a month, over 4,000 churches asked for the information. So that was just fun to just see that both there is a need as well as there's a number of people who are looking for it. So we're continuing each year to evaluate what gets made, what gets sent out there. Just this week, we'll be releasing a new updated family guide as well as a new Sunday school curriculum and some additional video blogs that will come out in this December. So the resources are always just for us to be able to help churches be able to figure out ways that they could engage their congregations in around this message that feels like they could all, whether or not you're a staff of two, you know, folks or one individual at a church or a church with multiple staff, that we'd have enough resources that it would feel like you'd be able to really dive into this and be able to fully participate and lead your congregations in this way. So that's kind of the resource story. In terms of myself and other, I have the the Imago Dei community is a place, is a church here in Portland that I have the opportunity to work with on some special projects, Advent Conspiracy being one of them. And so I spend a majority of my year, part-time, just really thinking through what are the resources that would help the churches live into this. So most of the work of strategizing and developing the resources actually happens in the springtime and summer as we then get them all ready to launch in the fall. So there is some of that. I also work with the church on how we engage with the city and what that kind of looks like from just a church living prophetically within the city and how we're able to really engage the needs that uniquely suit Portland and what that would look like for us to be God's people, both connected as well as living prophetically in that particular region. And then I also am connected to a project that is another video church resource called the Bible Project, where we create videos that help summarize each book of the Bible and well as look at themes and look at various issues that we feel like would really help the church. So I work with that organization as well of helping produce those videos and get them out there and made. So most of my world has to do with a lot of the marketing and communication assets.
You've been listening to my conversation with Director of Advent Conspiracy, Ken Weigel. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. Well, we had a very short but meaningful response to podcast number 55 when we spoke about The Simple Life, the book by David Shai. And Belva Jennings said simply, "I love this book." Thank you, Belva. Whose Birthday is available in multiple formats in 2015 to meet your personal, family, and community needs. From mid-November to the 1st of January, I'll present an audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Alternative's best-known annual resource. Regular listeners may think, well, didn't we hear that last year? Be assured, this year's is different from previous years. And even though Whose Birthday is no longer produced on paper, we still publish an online edition. The 2015 edition is now available. See the link in the show notes. If you want to contribute an article or piece of art, take a look at the guidelines. Send it right away, electronically if possible. That's one thing that's nice about online publishing. It can be updated at any time. Yes, you can also produce your own customized, do-it-yourself, Whose Birthday. You're welcome to assemble and copy a version that meets your local needs. See the show notes for tips to create, produce, distribute, and promote it. Well, it's time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works Podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works Podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works Podcast. They're archived twice. Access them through simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click the preview, backup, and choose the episodes you want, with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with the Jubilee One Earth Economics. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply, that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed those standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.